To draw those 7 district boundaries out, they are, and that first deadline is July 1 of this year. We will meet that deadline. We will have 4 public hearings. I believe our first one will probably be in around the April timeframe. That way we'll have those 7 established districts. They then will phase out our 7 board members throughout 2 different election cycles. I'm going to say that during the first one, you'll have 3 go out. That way you keep more senior board members on. And the second one, you'll have 4 go out. A feasibility study, I think for the most, you know, we're using taxpayers' dollars here. And as electeds, we all have a fiduciary responsibility. So I think the most cost efficient way is to take that Kaufman Hall study and then update it with both, you know, PMH's data and then have El Centro update their data. So you have a very realistic study. And then what was your last question?
If you had, okay, the independent study, the timeline, how long the committee, but my final question to you would be, do you have technical advisory committees or is it just your committee reaching out to consultants to put all the above in order?
So I would say that our board plans on having a lot more committees and a technical advisory committee. Realistically, for me, my biggest challenge as board chair has been not to overload my board, right? And so, I mean, right now during our meetings, we're there till, you know, at least 9 o'clock at night. And so you obviously can't get everything on the agenda because you want to, you know, and your board members have worked all day and then they come to this meeting, you don't, nobody wants to sit there till 10 o'clock at night and they're really not making the most clear decision. So yes, we are making committees. We will have technical advisory committees. I do believe in the bill, it specifically calls out for one that we can have. We're just really not to that point yet. I think right now what we're doing is a lot of the technical advisory committee would be comprised of like healthcare physicians and other medical staff. And I think that's kind of what you're referring to. Yes. I would say that will probably more than likely come, you know, a little bit further down the road when we're actually have a we're hoping to acquire El Centro and, you know, dissolve Pioneers and Heffernan and all work together. That I think that's more when you have these people going into it. Oh yeah. We also had a negotiating committee appointed at our last board meeting specifically to go into negotiations with El Centro, Heffernan, and PMH. That way these people don't have a voting right. So a committee doesn't, they're more like a spokesperson and an advocacy for the board to make sure that during negotiation processes, because there is a lot of, you know, attorneys and everybody involved, that the mission of this board stays there. And those herds, and then they go back to the board and present them.
My final question, just for clarification, for my knowledge, is your board focusing on policies and preparation for the new board, once the start phasing out the current members?
Yeah. So actually at our next board meeting, we're approving policies, you know, beginning approving our policies and procedures. When you talk about our board, I will say that, you know, for me as coming in, when I was elected on to city council, everything was up and running. This board had absolutely nothing except for a bill. And so anything that we have, whether it be a policy, an attorney, anything is progress that our board has made.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Katie, so AB 919 sets forth a laundry list of timelines you folks have to meet. Now that you guys are a constituted board, have you looked at that? And are there realistic timelines for you guys to achieve, do you think?
Yeah, so our legal counsel helped us lay out a roadmap. And by doing so, they reached out to various consultants. We do think that they are achievable. You know, and if a time comes where we feel that, hey, we're not going to meet a deadline, we already kind of have a game plan and route, which is go back to the legislator and, you know, various other things. But I do think that they are feasible by reaching out to the experts that we have. So, and then we also have a roadmap for that, and that's actually on our website. So if anybody would like to see it, it's there, knowing that it's going to be a living document. So it's, you know, as you know, all these subtasks kind of come up when you're trying to achieve it, it's going to continue to go. And kind of we're doing that as a way to, one, keep us organized, two, be transparent with the public what's going on. So, yeah, it should always be up there.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, go ahead.
Comment maybe in a question, but there's a lot of history here. And I know there's deep feelings from Pioneers and El Centro. And I would just add that there's a lot of, maybe in my case, a lot of this I haven't gone into great detail like probably many others. But what I want to see is a spirit of bringing everything out in the open. And the fact that if there is a like a nefarious attitude underlying anything, then I think the vote is going to be a problem. And you know, obviously the feelings are like maybe the North End was very diligent with their hospital, El Centro wasn't. And I'm being clear, that's out there. Okay, and so how do we meld this into something that works for everybody? We have an obligation to make it work and to try, and the spirit of 918. And even that has deep feelings, okay? Because he who writes the rules gets what he wants, right? So we need to be very clear that to get the valley to come together, there has to be a spirit of no underlying motive and anything that could just get people to say, hey, I'm not voting for this, because that's a reality. And I do understand the North End. I do understand the rest of the Valley. We do need a healthcare district, but if there is an underlying motive, it needs to be brought out and be fleshed out. And I mean, it's a big job. It's daunting. I understand that, but people want to feel that we can make this work.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say from our board, there is no underlying motive other than have a healthcare system that is one that is something that people can trust. You know, I will say in Imperial, a lot of my constituents are the first ones to go to San Diego. And we really need to make it where it's a healthcare system that we trust, and not only a healthcare system that gives people what they need, but the healthcare that they deserve. And so, yeah, that's what our board's really doing, is trying to just make sure that they're financially sound, have two hospitals work together, because the reality of it is if El Centro fails, then Pioneers, it's going to be a domino effect, because Pioneers isn't going to be able to take in everything that El Centro lost, and vice versa. And to say, you know, I would say that both hospitals received a $28 million loan from the state, which just kind of tells me that both are kind of in financial distress, because let's be real, you don't give aid out to millionaires, you know, or people that are doing really well. So I think our residents need a healthcare system they can rely on.
My final question, if I may, yes. Mr. Chair, how do people learn about the healthcare district meetings that are taking place?
So, you know, as I mentioned before, we finally got our website up. You can go to iv-hd.org. You'll see on there, that's where all of our meetings agendas are posted. If you haven't been able to attend our meetings that we've had, there's actually videos of them up there. You have all of our board's contact information, and everything that you need up there. And I can give you my personal contact information if you have any questions or need anything from us.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Sorry, you can.
Tomas Virgen with Heffernan Memorial, and then also I'm with IVHD, but this statement is from Heffernan Memorial. We also drafted a letter urging you to deny the expansion of MHD. As Heffernan, we're not okay with that expansion, but we do believe in the IVHD and the 918 spirit of the law, which is we're willing to unite because we know that that's the future for our valley. And as that, that's my statement for IVHD. And as a citizen of El Centro and working in healthcare here for the past 30-something years, actually, I used to work for Katie Santillana a long time ago when I started as a nurse. And that was one of the migrant students that Mrs. Nava Fitch, she's only a couple years older than I, but she was one of the instructors at Calipatria High School when I was there. And so, you know what, I've been here long enough to know that neither hospital could survive on their own. And the only way to make this successful is to unite them. Everybody talks about a tax, but in this expansion from PMHD, there's a tax associated with it as well, because they'll need it to survive. And both hospitals, by uniting, there's a lot of savings. Number one, it's not just the money that Ms. Santillan talked about, the $9 million from tax revenue possibly, but there's also a lot of savings in better billing system, because you're a sole provider. Look at Yuma. They've been very successful with that process. Also, there's other savings when you unite services, when you're not competing, still the bacon for the first for the same 20 patients for a specific service. And there's a lot better opportunity to bring the talent that we need to this valley once we're united and not duplicating services that we need to. And that's all.
Thank you, Mr. Birkin. Yes, sir.
Morning. My name is Nicholas Aguirre. I'm a nurse practitioner, family practice. I worked all three hospitals, Lexico, before they went down. I worked in El Centro and I've enjoyed it. What we need to do is that everybody's been discussing and everybody says what they say, and that's right on at times. But I think what we need to have, if I was on the boards, any of the boards, we need to have a safety net. Okay, there's too much money that we're talking about that one hospital has in debt. Okay, and not all hospitals are doing great in California, but we're going to have some financial problems in the future. Okay, I'm for merging. Okay, the safety net is the expansion. If we keep the expansion going and something happens to our planning on the merging, then we have that safety net. We have one hospital that's going on right now. We need two hospitals to work together. But I think that it would be a compromise. Keep the safety net, that's the expansion, going a little while longer. It doesn't cost money. We have the backup. Meanwhile, El Centro just came on board. Why did it take so long? Okay. We could have started working on their deficits in the financial end. Okay. And the reason that we're in this turmoil right now is because 918 had gray areas. The horse was behind the cart, or the cart in front of the horse. And this is why we're here. We all want the same thing. We all want to merge. We all want to make things better. We've all had difficulties with healthcare in the past. Okay, but tell you, not all hospitals that are greater than ours and bed space is doing a perfect job in San Diego. Okay, it doesn't mean that we're going to do better. We're going to have more issues financially. We do have to work together, but the safety net is the expansion. Okay, it doesn't cost money. It doesn't hurt anything. It doesn't violate 918 at all. Okay, why not keep it? If something fails with 918, hopefully not, we have that backup and it doesn't cost anything. All right, so I think we're gonna merge, but we should have less difficulties if we just listen to the two programs that we have. They're parallel to each other. They don't violate anybody or any one board. Expansion is a safety net financially. Because if 918 doesn't progress like we want it to, then where are we? Then we'll have two deficits or two hospitals with deficit financially. And that's coming anyway in the future. Okay? I think everybody's doing good. Everybody's kind of protecting their territory and all that. But if you take away the political climate, you take away all this other stuff, you know, that we've been hearing about, and even our lawyers are talking about how they're going to strategize in each of the areas. Okay, it's simple. Safety net, the expansion doesn't cost anybody anything. It's not going to hurt any board, and we have that safety net, and 918 will continue to work with it through our board. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have Mr. Assembly Member Garcia on the phone. Let's make a couple comments.
Well, you did do something after all, huh?
Yeah. Actually, I have a formal response from you on behalf of the Senator's office. It's an honor to be recognized for my work with Assembly Member Garcia on AB 918. And I understand that the interest, in any insights. While I did contribute to the crafting of AB 918, I'm here in a different capacity today, representing Senator Padilla's office. In this role, my main objective today is to listen, gather information, and report back on the discussions being held here today to ensure we're fully informed on all aspects of this of these proceedings. Senator Padilla is a co-author, values thorough understanding and dialogue, and it's with this intention that I'm here today. While I'm not in a position to provide specific comments today, I'm eager to listen and bring valuable insights back to our office and the senator. This ensures we can continue to serve our community with the most informed and thoughtful approach. Thank you. Now I'm going to go ahead and dial the assembly member. Okay. Good morning, Assembly Member. You are now on speaker.
Good morning.
Put him close.
He's close.
Good morning, Assemblyman. We're ready to listen to you.
Good morning. I'm ready to answer any questions that you may have, Mr. Kelly, and any questions that are important to your conversation. But good morning.
Good morning. We've kind of digested the whole issue today, and I think the board is set to go forward. Which direction, I don't really know yet, but I'm assuming we will go forward with respect to AB 918. And all we wanted to know was the last time the board met, we sent it back to your agency to see if anything could change to improve to ensure that the two hospitals come together in unison and go forward for the success of Imperial County Healthcare District.
Well, you did. The last time you met on November 16th, you did kick the issue back to me. And you basically said, you figure this out, Assembly Member. And I'm going to be quite candid with you, as I always have with you and the rest of the stakeholders. We figured this out through developing Assembly Bill 918. And we figured it out because the two hospitals and their leadership couldn't figure it out over the last 15 plus years. We developed a structure that allowed for a new board to come together and look at the two hospital finances, bringing together a new fresh set of eyes, a set of eyes that would be far more neutral, objective, and look at what's in the best interest of all of the residents of Imperial County through the lens of bringing together the two hospitals, a topic of conversation that has taken place for over 15 years, and ensuring that patient care comes first, not geographic location, not if you're from the north or the south or the east or the west, not if you're from El Centro or you're from Brawley, but patient care for the entire 180,000 residents of Imperial County. So when you said, go back to the table and bring these parties together, we did that. We did that, but knowing that the task in front of us wasn't going to be easy and knowing that there would be a party within those parties that would continue to resist and continue to defy what at that point in time was already a law that had been signed, AB 918. So we had a couple of meetings, one on 11/27, where we actually had the state doctor, Dr. Galley, who came to town and met with the CEOs of the hospitals and members of the board, who reinforced the importance of implementing AB 918 for reasons that I've already described, for reasons that have been deliberated, discussed, debated numerous times already. And he reminded us all that the reason why both hospitals received $26 million in loans was because both hospitals were and are in financial distress. Let us be reminded that although the hospitals are doing a little better, the two hospitals remain in the financial watch of the state because we remain concerned with the instability of the two hospitals. The doctor also reinforced that the only way that these two hospitals can survive is by the hospitals coming together, and reinforced the importance of making sure that this integration and consolidation took place. The leadership of both hospitals heard that loud and clear. Dr. Galli also ensured us that the state was willing, ready, and able to help us with this transfer of licenses, certificates, and making sure that it was a smooth transition with no interruption of services, and had full confidence in the leadership of the local healthcare district who is currently in place and those who were being appointed along the way. And that the state was going to be very vigilant along the way. That was the first meeting on 11/27. We had a follow-up meeting, Mr. Galli and members of the LACO board, on 12/13. And that roundtable also included leadership from PMH Healthcare District, ECRMC, where the financial directors of both hospitals had some really good conversations related to areas that there could be some potential synergy early on for integration, in terms of cost savings, in terms of the current state of the finances of both hospitals. Both gave reports that the hospitals were doing better. A lot of good questions came from the individuals that were in the room. We were fortunate enough to have members that had been appointed to the new healthcare district board present as well to get insight on the finances of the two hospitals as well. There were some brainstorming ideas that took place to be able to begin looking at what the agendas might look like for the new healthcare district first set of meetings that took place. There were some short-term and long-term type of ideas that were discussed in terms of what their goals and objectives could potentially be. And so very productive conversations. We had a follow-up meeting on 12/21 where Imperial Valley Healthcare District members also got together and talked a little bit about what, again, the outlook of the new healthcare district would look like. So, Mr. Galli, we took your direction seriously. We met the following week, you know, with a lot of optimism in terms of meeting that direction. But we also knew that we would not get everyone on board. And that's okay, because what we do know is that AB 918 that was signed into law would continue to stand and take precedent, and ultimately that a board would be put in place that would be tasked with the work that unfortunately could not be done by the boards of the current hospitals. And that's not to take away anything from them. That's to just say that now it's time for a new group of individuals to take the mantle and really create what needs to happen, and that is to consolidate the hospitals for purposes of financial stability of our healthcare system in Imperial County. Number two, that is to make sure that every corner of Imperial County is served well. And more importantly, so that the future of healthcare looks brighter in Imperial County. This was not an easy task. We had over 36 meetings with stakeholders throughout the entire Imperial County. We're looking at this through the lens of how can this become a model for other parts of the state of California who are also in very similar circumstances, And we've heard a lot today about this expansion application as a plan B, as a safety net. You know, the law says that the healthcare districts, both Pioneers and Heffernan, will be dissolved by a certain period of time. Well, that is written in law. And so there is no safety net by expanding the healthcare district via this application. In fact, that is the least safety net approach that you can take. The guaranteed approach is by Pioneers and Heffernan engaging and participating in the Imperial Valley Healthcare District's process of integrating themselves and the two hospitals to ensure that this healthcare district is successful. That is the safety net that the residents of Imperial County can count on to ensure that the hospital's financial stability today and in the future is much brighter than what we are seeing today. Now, I want to just point out a couple of other things. There are timelines in the bill that were recommended by the healthcare stakeholders through the dozens and dozens of meetings that we had in the development of this bill. And yes, there were many changes to the bill as a result of all of those meetings. Meetings with folks at Pioneers, meetings with folks at El Centro, meetings with folks at Heffernan, meetings with doctors, meetings with nurses. We even made changes as a result of the dozens of op-eds that were written by individuals who might be sitting in that room this morning. Things that make sense, things that were pragmatic, things that to us were logical, and we made those changes. For those reasons, there were many changes in the bill throughout that process.
Well, thank you very much, Assemblyman Eduardo Garcia. Your words are well taken, well spoken, and I appreciate your input for this commission today. Thank you so much for all your hard work.
I have a question.
I hope we do the right thing.
Before he leaves.
Assemblymember, one question from Commissioner Navarro-Frolic.
Yes.
Good morning, Assemblymember Eduardo Garcia. I have a couple questions. Your successor, because I know you're leaving, or maybe the office of Senator Padilla, is there an opportunity for forgiveness grants to help clear some of the debts that are in both hospitals? And then also, I know that there's been a lot of modifications to the bill. I heard of 7 at least on AB 918. Maybe when you leave your successor or while you're still here, is there an opportunity if the current stakeholder, the healthcare district that's in place, if they make a recommendation to make an addendum to the AB 918? For example, if the North End wants for more inclusivity to add another member or when it goes to the voters, is that something that you could still do on your end?
The board representation will stand as it is until the board goes into district voting. Imperial Valley Healthcare District has already initiated what will be a process to go into district voting. And there, the entire district will go into a configuration of district voting that is set up by law that is determined by population and socioeconomic census tracts. So it's very likely that the seats will be distributed in a very similar manner that the Imperial Valley College Board seats are set up like, the Imperial County Supervisor seats are set up like, and the Imperial Irrigation District seats are set up like. You can just visualize an additional seat or two given that there would be 7 seats to the Imperial Valley Healthcare District. That will happen through the redistricting. As it relates to changes to the bill, those changes we have always said need to come from the Imperial Valley Healthcare District as recommendations. And as it relates to the loan forgiveness, the state of California has discretion on the 2 specific loans that were last provided, the $26 million to the 2 hospitals. The state of California has discretion on waiving both of those loans to both Imperial Valley Healthcare District if the hospitals are consolidated, and or individually to Pioneers or El Centro Hospital. And I hope that answers your question. I'll just like to add that the timelines on the bill could also be modified if and when they need to be modified, knowing that that has been top of mind of some of the stakeholders as a major concern raised along the way.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before I close this hearing, anybody else? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I have a couple of housekeeping items, please. Got an email from Ryan Kelly, Imperial County Supervisor District 4, asked the following be read into the record. Quote, I support the expansion of the Pioneers Memorial Hospital Healthcare District. It is a LAFCO responsibility to review the application and make a decision on the merits. PMHD sought the appropriate path with local review by your board and staff. Will you allow the application to proceed? Question mark, signed Ryan Kelly, Imperial County Supervisor District 4. And then just to make sure part of the record, we have a correspondence from Heffernan Memorial Healthcare District dated March 21, 2024, asking that PMHD's application be denied. There was a letter from the Office of Legislative Counsel dated March 20th, 2024, sent to the Honorable Eduardo Garcia, but copied to our office. There is a letter from City Attorney for the City of El Centro dated March 26, 2024. And finally, a letter from Procopio, counsel for the new healthcare district. And previously mentioned, Imperial Valley Coalition for Sustainable Healthcare Facilities. All those communications to be part of the record of the public hearing.
Okay, it's up to this commission now.
Yes. Any discussion here upon that?
Public hearing closed?
Yeah.
Public hearing be closed at 10:10.
What do you want to go first?
I just want to say that I want to thank Pioneers Memorial Hospital for being here and speaking on all of the items that you shared. Want to thank El Centro Regional Medical Center for having also comments, and want to also thank the Assemblymember Eduardo Garcia and everyone that has that are our true stakeholders in this matter. Want to thank all of you for your comments.
Yeah. No. Sir Huck? No. Mr. Kelly?
I think I've heard everything needs to be heard and everything needs to be said.
Okay. I just want to thank the Imperial Valley Healthcare District for being here and their team for working as hard as they're working. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'll also like to close this here before we go on a roll out and vote, is that I'd like to appreciate everybody here tonight, but that I want to be focused on what's the agenda today is a negative declaration. We heard a lot from a lot of people, a lot of motions there, but at hand is the negative declaration we ought to vote on. So it's a matter of just right now. So, yes.
Yeah, we have a council or executive officer explain the options that this commission has today with respect to a vote?
Yes.
Yeah. So you have before you a staff report. You'll remember this is a continued public hearing. It's been before this commission a number of times. The staff recommendation is to deny the Pioneers the application by Pioneer Healthcare District. And this is not a denial on its merit. There's no defect necessarily with the application, but it's our view that by passage of AB 918, any action that you would be taking would be eventually have no effect or it's moot, because by operation of law, as you've all heard, AB 918 dissolves the applicant's healthcare district no later than January of 2025. So we believe that from staff, for that reason, and because there'll be a duplication of efforts, could create confusion among the community going forward with the application where they're competing elections, for example, that the recommendation is to deny it with the findings made. There is no legal reason why you cannot approve the application going forward, but for the reason I just stated, I think it's ultimately of no effect. And then finally, you could continue the hearing, but I can't think of a reason why you would want to do that. Typically, you would continue a public hearing. Were you seeking more information, views of different stakeholders, felt like you didn't have all the information before you? And I don't think it's a legal reason to continue the hearing simply to see what might happen or might not happen with AB 918. Those are events that are hypothetical. They are not before you. And there would not be a reason, in my view, to continue the hearing.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
After hearing all the information, I move to follow the recommendation of counsel and executive officer on this issue.
Okay. Roll call.
Frolic?
Can I have?
Yes.
So an aye vote would be to deny the expansion of
PA. That's correct. Go ahead, Tim.
Frolic?
Yes.
Moreno?
Yes.
Londeros?
Yes.
Hawk?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Carey. The next item is Imperial Valley Healthcare District.
Mr. Chair, we were going to ask the a representative to just give an update on how the district has been doing, which you kind of did already, but Tomas, I don't know if you wanted to add
to
that.
We got the update.
Well, you know,
a little bit. I'm happy to answer questions, and then just we have a board meeting scheduled for April. I believe it's the second Thursday of April, and on the recommended policy list, we're planning to adopt bylaws, conflict of interest code, a business and expense reimbursement and ethics training policy, and a policy regarding the duties of the boards of directors. Slated for the May meeting will be a comprehensive code of conduct, the maintenance of confidentiality by directors, and public comments at board meeting policies. So the, you know, understanding that it's a brand new district and we have to line up all the policies, we plan to hammer out 3 to 4 at a time at each board meeting coming up. The first hearing for information on the prospective drawing of maps will also happen at the April board meeting. We plan to have 4 meetings before the vote, which will happen at the June board meeting. That's our update.
I have a question. What is the process, or have you established by a process in terms of dissolving both the Heffernan and Pioneers, starting with Heffernan?
So what we'll have to determine and what we'll have to solicit is letters of intent from both Pioneers and Heffernan's with basically disclosures of liabilities, assets that IVHD will have to acquire, but we have a full understanding moving in. Irrespective of what they are, we will be the successor agency that accepts those liabilities, assets, and responsibilities. That will require a good amount of coordination with LAFCO. Right. I've already had a discussion with Ms. Graff about it. So we will coordinate with LAFCO to make sure that the goal of AB 918, which is to ensure continuity of healthcare services in the Valley, remain, be the paramount consideration. Basically what that looks like procedurally is starting to pick date. You know, on this date, we'll get X, on this date, we'll get Y. Setting with far enough time prospective dates for dissolutions of both healthcare districts by no later than hopefully January 1 of 2025 so that we can ensure all appropriate licenses, deeds, et cetera, are transferred over before then. It's a moving target.
Okay, but. And based on your professional experience, do you anticipate the goal 2 years, from now, or can it be sooner?
I think it is ambitious, but it could happen.
Okay.
I don't know whether there are statutory deadlines that can be waived, or whether there are statutory deadlines that would preclude a January 1 turnover,
mm-hmm.
by, for example, the Department of Health, with respect to licenses. Right. We have at the following board meeting, which hopefully will be April 1st, next Monday, we plan to have a special board meeting to bring on special regulatory counsel to advise us about those specific licenses and transfers that would have to happen. So far, I am unaware of any firm barriers that would prevent us from moving forward in light of the supporting legislation that we have, assuming all parties are cooperative.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Mosberg, I'm one of the clerks for the IVHD board. Just so you know, please visit our website, iv-hd.org. There's constant updates on there. Like Adriana from Procopio and our chair mentioned, our website is live, and that roadmap will be live. It's a live document. So you're going to be seeing updates soon. And soon we're going to talk about the next big project right now is to get the demographer in here, which we're already engaged and they're in progress. And that's one of the, I just want to let you know that we are on track with that timeline so far. And whatever expense, somebody asked a question earlier about expenses, all the expenses associated with the district are tracked by Heffernan under its own bucket for IVHD. And that includes staff time at an hourly rate, which is different than the salary for the district. And everything is tracked and budgeted accordingly. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Birgen. Okay. Oh, just real quick. Will you somebody be providing updates on a regular basis to the board, to LAFCO, as we move along? If you're sure. Okay, good. Okay.
As we go through the process, AB19 requires coordination. Right. So we plan to be in touch probably weekly with LAFCO as we continue to discuss timelines. Okay. I'll probably have a call in to Paula tomorrow to discuss the demographer deadlines.
Okay. Thank you.
Good question.
Our next item is a draft budget for fiscal year 2024-2025.
Good afternoon, Commissioner. So before you is our draft budget, which we are required. You want me to wait till the
room clear?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I thought that was going to happen.
Thank you. It's a hornet's nest, but I've been an alternate for about a year now, and I guess I'm not sure I will be remaining an alternate or not. I don't know. Yeah. It's a great question. The reason why I'm up here is because.
Yeah.
That's okay. I was the alternate.
Okay,
he stepped
down.
Yeah.
He stepped down a year ago.
Well, I've been an alternate by a year, but he stepped down in November, roughly. So, I've been the public member since then.
Yeah.
Well, from one alternate to another.
Ready?
Yep, go ahead. Yep.
Ready? Okay. Gentlemen.
Ready? Yes, we're ready.
We're required to adopt a draft budget by May and ultimately a final in June. We're presenting the draft budget to you today in March, and a final will be presented to you in May. We have a increase from the last year's adopted budget of about $15,000. And we are asking to utilize reserves. So savings that we have from the previous year, we're asking to use $103,000 to lessen the impact on the agencies. I don't know if you guys have any questions for me, any items that you want to look at.
What was the additional $15,000 for?
So there's a breakdown on the right side of the you go. Right out the right side, it shows the increase and decrease from the prior year. And we have an increase of 9,000 because we're expecting to have one of our long-term tenants move out. And it hasn't been upgraded for, I don't know, many years. So we're foreseeing 9,000 increase in that.
That'll impact. Is there plans on filling that vacancy for the tenant?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm ready.
Anyone else?
Do you need a motion on the draft budget?
Do you have any other questions?
No, say again? Questions?
We do. We need a motion.
Yep. Kelly, you want to make the motion?
I'll move.
Okay. Right. Roll call.
Rolick?
Yes.
Marino?
Yes.
Londeros?
Yes.
Hawk?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yes. Before we go, Mr. Chair, how do we go forward to ensuring that Jose continues to be the alternate of the public?
I think he would have to reapply, right?
He will continue.
As an alternate?
So he would continue on for... Do you know when he was appointed? So it's a 4-year term. And so when that that term is nearing, I'm getting tongue-tied, then we would ask the commission again to reappoint or appoint someone new. That's what we would do.
But right now his term stands as alternate.
Yeah, you would, nothing would change.
He continues as an alternate.
It would continue, yes.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay.
Right. Motion to adjourn.
That's it.
It is 10:23.
Good job, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Got me at the rope, huh?